I thank God for you all, and I really celebrate every one of you. There is no words to describe how much God loves us, loves you. The love is deep. It's evident by the death of his own son. I've been with you all for a long time. Occasionally, what God has been doing and speaking to us is about destiny, about purpose, about our calling, about what he's doing and what he's going to be doing. And occasionally, he will show and reveal some things about maturity in our lives, spiritual maturity. Today, I'm glad you're here, because what the Lord has done through what he wants me to share with you in my life has changed me. And I pray that what God is doing in me, he will do even more and better for you. There are so many questions I've had being a believer. There's so many concerns. But when God started revealing this to me and doing it in my heart, he answered a lot of my questions. Why? So many questions. So let me just say a few things to prepare us. I don't know how to put titles to things, but God will speak to you and you will title it what it means to you. First of all, I had a question. Before the Lord, and I've always asked him, I said, why? What is it that you have a people? They are called your people, the children of Israel, and they are your own. What? You gave them your word, you gave them yourself, gave them your promise. And then they studied and prepared that you're coming to save and deliver them as a Messiah. What happened? What is it that when you came, the very people you call your own, the people that you were preparing and you were excited to meet, the very your own people, you came, and the Bible says they did not know you. Not only did they not know you, they rejected you. What is that? How can that be? Then the question again is, you came, you were there, you did miracles, you raised the dead, you healed the sick. In places they would say everybody was made whole. Everybody was healed. Places upon places upon places. To the point it says if the miracles that were done here and here were done in Sodom, they would have repented. You fed them. You provided. You did everything. And a group, one time you said, you're not coming to me because you love me. You want me. Say, you're coming to me because of the miracles. I said, what is going on? Then a group of the church leaders. These are the leaders of the church, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the elders of the church, that were teaching the people that you come, training the people, raising up the people. You came, it was the leaders that said you were a devil, that were preaching every day you are coming, and teaching the people you come. And you came, and then they were telling the people not to follow you, and telling the people that you're a devil. What is that? And then, when they saw the miracles you were doing, they saw the good things you were doing, they were more angry than happy that you were helping people. And then later, when it was time for you to die for the rest of the world, to sacrifice your life for the world, not just your people alone, they were the teachers and the teachers, the ones, the leading, the church leaders. They were the ones that mobilized all these people you've done miracles for and healed, and told them, and told the government to crucify you. Choose between a thief, a criminal. Everybody knows Barabbas to be a criminal. And this man that has been doing miracles, that has been put in this situation, choose whom I should release to you. All of them says, give us the criminal. Kill, crucify this man. What did you do? And this is God manifested in the flesh. Say, if you see me, you see my Father. What was happening? In the church of that day. The next thing, questions I have, and I take responsibility. The church has not understood or quite have done well in this area, especially me. First of all, I have a friend. I have quite a lot of people. God has led me in this area of ministry with their families and their people. One specific area, there was a brother. His grandfather left his parents at the age of 16. His father rebelled, left his parents at the age of 16. He rebelled, left his father at the age of 16. His son rebelled and left him at the age of 16. What is that? Is it the son that sinned? Or is it the grandparents that sinned? Why did he affect all these people? Where did that come from? When we talk about left, we're talking about really bad situation. How do you break that? How do you heal that? How do you reconcile the heart of the father to the children and stop it from continuing? What does that mean? I've been around pastors, ministers that preach about love, about forgiveness. I've been around a lot of people, but when there is pressure, like he did with the people that said crucify Jesus, I was very shocked at all of a sudden, not just in one location, the people that are leading the people under pressure begin to say, that's a white man. I don't want this. That's that. All of a sudden, this love of God shifted to, this is a white man, this is a black man, this is a yellow man, this is a red man. I did not understand what happened the last political season. I saw something that I was shaken in the church. I've never seen such hatred from leaders. One pastor told me, says, I literally had to withdraw myself because we're talking about division and the world because of politics. My congregation was split into two, a large pastor church in our city. It says during the election, the church was split in two. I said, that's a question. Now, what happens to somebody who, before they knew the Lord, was a harlot? So, they receive Christ. They come to church. So, how does that person become Christ-like? How does that person change from the abuse, the mindset, the hatred, what forced them to live that lifestyle? How do they change from that lifestyle and begin to live a godly life? Who can do that? How is it possible? How does a child that was abused all their life with words or abused sexually or whichever way, how, when they become a Christian, how do you guarantee them that that will be a thing of the past? They can't be free. How do you address somebody that was raised all his life, a terrorist, a robber? What drove them to become a terrorist? What drove them to become a robber? What drove them to become a liar, a cheater? Now, if they come to church, can they change? Is it possible? We live in a world today where gay rights is a legal right. What happens if somebody that is gay gets saved? Do you guarantee that they can be totally free? Is it true? So, what happens when people come out of the world like I did? I never knew Christianity. All I knew was the world and the lifestyle of the world. So, my coming to become a Christian is for me to remain the same way I was in the world. What is the benefit of the cross? Why will the Pharisees and the Sadducees all their life live in church and become leaders, and Jesus came and they said, kill him, he's a devil, take him away? I don't understand. Why is there hate in the church? Why is there competition? Why is there all this stuff that it was who we are in the world? Why do we come to church and that thing has not left? I was a Catholic growing up. I was very devoted Catholic. In the high school, I was the president of the Catholic in my school. I went to, I was a president of St. Jude in the Catholic Church. I was so devoted. One time I was going through, in the college, I was going through some pressure situation. And I started developing high blood pressure in high school out of devotion. I said, I thought God was to change this. I thought I'm a Christian. I thought this way. I'm not doing any of these things. Why am I having this? And then when I got out of high school, I even went to the monastery because the Reverend Father over our college said, let's take. I went there. I loved the life of the people. I went there. I was looking for God, but I was looking for a God that could change my life. If he cannot change my life, it's either God is a liar or I am a liar. So I came out of the monastery. Fortunately, that month, that year, I went on vacation to be with my cousins in Lagos. When I got there, there was a lot of money, cars, everything sitting. I forgot I was a devoted Catholic. That whole year, I was from one party to the other, doing everything the world does. I took my Bible that I took there and I laid it somewhere. And I knew whatever I was doing was not God. From there, I went to college and I was completely backsliding. But deep in my heart, I said, I want God. When I came here, my first experience with God, I saw immediate change taking place. And then from there, and when I tasted him, I now started pursuing him. So, what is the difference between the cross and religion? So, I have all these questions, and I pray that this morning, the way God answers some of my questions and change my heart, he will do for you. What I want to share with you this morning is deep. But it's not deep in terms of knowledge. It's deep because the things we're dealing with are too deep. They are too deep because we hide it even from ourselves. And everybody else is our problem. I cannot deny God setting me free. And I know he can do it. If all these people, alcoholics, and all these people that are filling the void of their life because of pain, because of past, because of issues they came out of, they cannot guarantee freedom from those things. Why would they need to come to church? And why do we come to church? This message answers one of the questions. And this message answers a lot why. Many times people have been in church, you don't see them anymore in church. They are out there. That's the reason why. So I pray, Father, you open our eyes, open our ears, and do a deep work in our heart. In Jesus' name. I want to use illustrations today, and we're going to read some scriptures a lot today. So I thank God for our media people. Thank God for the worship team. This morning worship was what I call a warfare worship. It was faith to break through the atmosphere and release the purpose and the heart of God. I made notes because there's so much in my spirit and I want to be able to just share these few things and stay focused. So I'm going to use two threes, to use as an example, illustration. And we have one tree here, we have one tree there, flower. Now, these two trees, they look alike. But the one on my left, I will call it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of self. Self. Self, self, self. This tree on my right is a tree of life, which we call love, which is selfless. Amen? Every tree has a seed. So for you to duplicate a tree, to become like that tree, you have to plant the seed of that tree. Amen? So, for purpose of illustration, we say this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what fruit do you want to name it? What fruit do you want to call it? Mango? Okay. Now, when I finish my illustration, don't hate mango. Okay, this is mango. Let's call this apple. Amen? So this is mango. This is apple. If you want apple to be duplicated, you have to plant the seed from an apple tree. Isn't it? If you want mango to be duplicated, you plant from mango seed from mango tree, isn't it? Can you plant apple and use reap mango? Can you plant mango and you reap apple? Because their DNA is different. So this tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and basically is the tree of death. This is the tree of life. The two of them were in the garden, and the two represents the mystery of the kingdom of God and the powers of darkness. Amen? Listen carefully. I started for a purpose the way God led me to start. But you see this tree, and this tree, even before there was a hurting soul. Somebody did you wrong. Somebody did that person wrong. This person offended me. This person did this to me. That person did it to me. My father did this. My brother did this. My sister did this. The pastor did that. That did that. There was none of that. Listen carefully. Even before all these abuses started, the point I want to make to you is the problem of man is not who did what, is self. Adam and Eve were not abused. Eve was not abused. Instead, they had glory around them. They had wealth around them. They had the whole world as their dominion. They had every wealth. They had everything. No cousin, no brother, no this, nobody abused them. But they listen to the devil. The person you listen to and you continue listening to, the fruit in their life is what you start bearing. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Adam and Eve has not been abused. They had no grandfather. You all know what I'm trying to say. Because where we are going, where I started from, we always want to say, is all this problem is why I am this. These two people were healthy, wonderful, and blessed. Their problem They had God around them. Amen? Glory around them. Power, everything around them. Where's the problem? The problem was inside. The only way you know, and the only way they found out, was when God says, don't eat this. I've given you all these things. I bless you, but don't eat this. Because what comes out of this is death. What comes out of this is life. Amen? Amen. Say, don't eat this, for the day you eat it, you will what? Die. In other words, it will poison you and poisons kill. So, remember, it's not when you do something once or you make a mistake or you do this. No, God is not talking about mistakes and before you get up. He's talking about when you continuously eat of something he says don't do. So guess what happened? Eve started eating this. My brothers and sisters, it's not when you eat of it that it has taken over you. It's when you are entertaining it. Before you start sleeping with a woman, that was not where it started. It was when you were meditating on what you were seeing. Then you can't control making it happen. Eve kept eating from this tree, eating from this lie. The devil didn't say I was lying to you. It sounded good. He was playing on self. It was entertaining self. And Eve kept eating it. He kept eating it. Kept listening to it. Kept feeding from it. Kept listening to it. Kept feeding from it. After much of that, do you know what happened? She turned her heart back against God, life, and said, you are right. God is wrong. All this wealth God gave you, everything God gave you, no, she couldn't see that anymore because she has been entertaining this. And all of a sudden, the poison has become so deep. And he looked at God and said, listen, my brothers and sisters. They died spiritually, but not physically. Listen to how the cross, this is God. God is very merciful and compassionate. Do you know what happened? God did not come to them and immediately and say, you died. You all these things. He came to them after they have eaten of it. Listen very carefully. Eve ate. He gave to Adam. Because you cannot eat what you are not convinced of. Eve eating it has convinced Adam why should you eat. God came to them and said, Adam, where are you? God will never judge you. We judge ourselves when we don't repent. Because God already said, the day you eat it, you die. So God didn't come and say, you die. God wanted to give them an opportunity to turn around. And that's what they call repentance. He says, Adam, where are you? What happened? Instead of Adam saying, oh God, I'm sorry. I ate. Listen to what Adam said. Self. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Self will never blame self. God did not tell Eve to be in charge. God gave Adam charge. Amen? Adam said, it's not me. It's Eve. Did you hear that? Adam has a need God wants to fix. But God could not fix it because Adam says, I have no problem. The problem is Eve. Okay, God came to Eve. Eve, Adam said, you are the one that ate this thing. Eve says, it's not me. It's who? The devil. It's the serpent. Amen? And God said, okay, since none of you is wrong, death has what? Come. So you can leave my garden now. You can leave my garden now. And he blocked the way to the tree of life. And they left. And when they came here, Satan said, welcome, I'm now in charge. Abuses started from there. The first story I want to tell you where abuse starts. Why did I tell you? My friend's grandfather, his great-grandfather, his grandfather, 16 years, rebelled. His father, 16 years. What was happening? The seed of the tree. As soon as they were kicked out from that place, Adam has two sons, Cain and Abel. And they were doing offerings to God. And all of a sudden, Cain did what he wanted to do. Abel did what he wanted to do as according to. And God had no problem. God wanted to receive what Cain brought from the soil. Abel from what he brought from the animals. The sacrifice. Receive what you can give. And God blessed Abel. And Cain had problem with God blessing Abel. And Cain got angry. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Good and evil. From that time, abuses started multiplying. This started abusing, this started. Actually, Cain killed Abel, his brother, from that seed that was in him. So, my brothers and sisters, let me mention a few situations in history where this tree took advantage and is still taking advantage of people today because of self. I just told you about Cain. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and whatever was in them. There was a group of leaders and a group of people that was led by a guy called Korah. And God was leading them with a cloud and doing miracles. But they got to a point, they didn't want to follow God anymore. But who was representing God? It was Moses. So God anointed them. They were leaders. Once you are a leader, there's a reason you are a leader, because you are empowered, you're smart, you're good. They took their leadership capacity and they started poisoning people. And then those people didn't know what was happening to them until one day Moses would say, let's do this. Moses was surprised. A group rose up and said, no, we're not going anymore. Who? What happened? I'm not the one. I'm following the cloud. No, you are cleaning us in this wilderness. You're not taking us there. You da-da-da, you've been lying to us. We're going back to Egypt. And they split the camp. It was a bad situation. But that seed was sown. And eventually, the ground opened up and swallowed all of them. And everyone that has eaten that seed, including their children, to preserve those that can move forward. So many things happen. So, if you look at the New Testament, the Old Testament, they keep referring to the life of Cain, the life of Abel, all these people, the life of Korah. There was another situation. Two brothers were born as twins by the same mother, the same father. But they came out with different personalities. God is okay with that. The older one is Esau, the younger one is Jacob. Jacob did something really wrong. He offended his brother. Everybody say offense. He offended his brother. And guess what? Offense is Satan's bait. Once you eat it, we're going to look at scriptures very soon. Be patient. Today is a deep transformation day. From the day Esau took that bait and ate it, that offense, and you release offense by forgiveness. You release offense by some things we're going to look at. You reject it immediately. The moment you eat it, Satan just fed you a rope and will drag you the rest of your life. Say hook. And a bait tied. The moment you eat offense, the rest of your life you'll be dragging. Everybody is your problem. You're the most miserable person even when God is there. Esau, from that day, was miserable. And from that day, Esau has so eaten this offense, he developed what the Bible called root of bitterness. I've gotten ahead of myself. We'll get there. Root of bitterness. And from that moment, Esau was not a happy man, no matter what you give to him. All he wanted was vengeance against his brother. And the Bible talks about it in the New Testament. Be careful that you don't become like Esau. Another situation is what I started with. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, these are people God trusted to train the people to lead them. What happened to them? We call it a religious spirit now. What was the foundation? What happened that led them to the situation where their eyes were blind to see? They called Jesus devil. Everything they called Jesus was actually what was in them. They called him darkness. They called him everything. My brothers, how do we get there? And how do we get rid of it on time? So, I want us to open our Bibles and I want us to read how God started answering these questions for me. Let's open to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Please be patient with me because we have a need. And it has been there too long. And God wants to help us. Matthew 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Amen? And he spoke many things unto them in parables, and he said this: behold, a sower went forth to sow. Again, remember, we're talking about these seeds. Okay? This time, Jesus has come. So, this is the tree of life. Now sowing seeds of life. A sower went. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 4. And when he sowed seeds of life, some seeds fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Verse 5. Some seeds fell on what? Stony places, where there was not much soil or earth. And forthwith, right away, They sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun, S-U-N, was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they what? Withered away. Some seeds fell on thorns. And the thorns sprang up and what? Choked them. But others fell into what? Good ground. And the good ground, what did he do? He brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Let's go quickly to how Jesus explained this parable. From verse 18. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. Amen? Amen. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 18. When anyone hears the word, this word is logos, the life-giving revelation of God's truth, Christ. When anyone hears the word of God, the word of the kingdom, and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches it or snatches it away. That which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Verse 20. But he that received the seed in the stony place, the same is he who hears the word, and right away with what? Joy. Receiving it. Talk about on fire. We say this person is on fire. This person loves God. Why? He's just all fire, all wanting to do so many. Just excited. Excited. Verse 21. Yet he had not root in himself, but do read, but enjoy it for a while. For when tribulation, everybody say tribulation, trials, or persecutions arise it because of the word that was sown in him, by and by, he's what? Offense. The bait comes. Verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that hears the word of God, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. My brothers, listen. Verse 23. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, which also what? Bears fruit, brings forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Father, have mercy on us in Jesus' name. My brothers, I know we don't have a lot of time. But just bear with me for us to touch this need that God has helped me with. And I know it will help you. For time, maybe we have to continue with this. Let me leave everything else because of time. Let me focus not the wayside, not the thorns, which is wealth and material things, family, all this stuff that we make gods without knowing in our hearts. Let me focus on stony ground. He said it's stony ground. You are excited as a Christian, but all of a sudden you discover when pressure comes, offense comes, you discover that really you're not rooted in Christ. So what? How does offense come? How does pressure come? What is tribulation? What is all this? What does it cause? What causes it? What does it mean? He gets offended. And listen to what he said. Is categorized among people who are not fruitful in Christ. You don't bear fruit. You don't grow. Then he says, those who grow are those who are planted on good soil. Amen? Now, if somebody is sleeping, tell them, I'm not charging you for this. So you need to, the only price is for you to stay awake. Amen? Amen. And tomorrow, you will not have this problem. My brothers, we started from Adam and Eve. Something happened from there. It entered into Canaan. There were people and all through history. So Satan abuse came. So everywhere you have people, two or three or four or five, as long as there is self, there has to be an offense. There will always be offense. Because my nose doesn't look like your nose. I have bald hair, you have hair. And if you don't like people with bald hair, that's offense already. Amen? So, no matter what, offense will come. Because we are human. Even if it's our parents, I just told you. Even if it's our wife and husband. Because of flesh. But what you do with your offense is the problem. So here, Jesus says, like I started with, there are people before they are born again, there are baggages called stones in their life. They are coming into the kingdom with a lot of abuses, with situation. Maybe this happened to my father, this happened to my mother, this happened to me, that happened to me, this person, all this stuff, all this world we get, all, think of all the baggages we came with, and then we receive Christ. We have stones. The stone has names. He has the person who did this, the person who did that, that person, or this situation, or that situation. Actually, somebody has so much stone in them with that self that he was walking in an eye when we were at Mount Zion one time, and this chair was here like that, and he wanted to walk by here, and his leg hit the chair. He said he was blaming the chair for being there. You will get it later. Who put that chair there when you have two eyes? Okay. Offense will come. He says a white girl. He's a black boy. He married a white girl. You are not the one that married them, but you offended black and white got married. Offense will come. Stony ground are the things we came in, but we don't see is inside of us. Amen? Now listen to this. Listen carefully because of time. We might continue. He said, we came into the kingdom, but we refused. He said the stones did not allow our roots to go deep. What does that mean? What keeps a root? Do you know what makes all these trees' roots go deeper? Storms. Their roots go deep for water. Shake. So, storms. Jesus, before he came, knew the only reason he has to come is the only one that is selfless. Is the only one that is pure. Is the only one that is God. No man has God. No man is pure. No man is clean. Everybody has a stoning. Our righteousness is filthy. Nobody can claim to have what God has. So he came. Amen? So this is the plan. We all, our righteousness is filthy, right? Because we came from this disobedience, this self nature. Amen? So we all have it. Amen? We came from there. That's who we are. Amen? So Jesus came. And he carried a seed with him. And this seed is so that we can have life. Amen? So he comes and he plants this seed in me. I received him. I got excited. I got excited. But all of a sudden, I was planted in a church called Mount Zion. Amen? Or I was planted in a church called... let's call a church that you don't know. Which church you want to... Then, which church?
Alpha.
Alpha. I was planted in a church called what? Alpha. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
When I was planted there, life has been planted in me. And God wants me to go deeper in life. But I had self. And with that self, I had baggages. So, Jesus called these stones. So what happened was, I was planted in Alpha Church, and this woman started talking about me. Or this woman didn't give me this. Or this man didn't receive me well when I came. Or this man didn't greet me. Or this man made me stand up from this chair and go sit in that chair. And I'm a new member. Or they didn't have the right place for my baby. Or they didn't. Just name whatever it is. I got offended. I said, okay, no problem. I will manage it. Let me stay in Alpha for a while. I overlooked all that, and I stayed another month. And I stayed, and I keep growing. All of a sudden, other issues start coming. Other issues start coming. Do you know what happened? What those issues are coming for is to remove the stone. Because the purpose of the stone is to let you know you need the cross. You need to surrender to the only surgeon that can remove the stones. Because if you don't remove that stones, the offense has found a fertile ground. When offense grows, I'm going to show you very soon, it becomes a root of bitterness. A different tree starts growing when you had the right seed. Instead of growing apple, you are now growing mango in your life. So you can be in church and you are growing mango because of bitterness instead of growing apple. The seed you water is what will grow. So I'm in this apple church. Okay, maybe there's a pastor there that didn't treat me well. Or maybe this... The whole purpose of life is always going to be life. DNA of life will always go to be tree of life. All you need to do is to water it. This tree of self, of knowledge, will always be tree of knowledge of good and evil. The purpose is for God to cut it down. So the purpose of being planted, Jesus says, the mystery of any tree to grow seed, the outer shell must die first for the seed life to come. Unless a tree is planted, it cannot bear fruit unless it was die. What is the death? This self is our outer shell. If it's not planted, it can't die so that this can come. This is our covering. That's where we came from. All of us came from this. Jesus came so that this will die. And this will live. This cannot die without offense. What is offense? Offense is simply this thing in our life, self. What is a good soil? This is what the Lord showed to me. That solved a lot of problems for me. He says, the reason I plant you at your workplace, because they are not angels there. They are human beings. They have problems at home, have issues at home, have problems. They will bring it to your workplace and you will live in that mist. There will be problem at workplace. Somebody's going to be envy. Somebody's going to be jealous. Somebody will say so. Somebody's going to act up with this fruit of the flesh. And when he acts up, it's going to offend you. What do you do with the offense? If you eat it, whatever that person sowed in you, you're going to sow it to other people. Now, if it's not workplace, it can be marriage. If it's not marriage, why do I say marriage? There are more divorce in the church than is in the world. Why divorce? Offense that has been eaten. You eat it until you're not seeing eye to eye anymore. My wife is a devil. My wife says, I'm a devil. How can two devils live together? Let's divorce. Amen? But before you became devils, you were like, the best person in the world. How did that get to being a devil? There were stones. The purpose of marriage is to let you know, if you don't get rid of those stones, it will manifest. The reason God brings us close to people is so that we can see ourselves. But instead of seeing ourselves, we blame the people 24/7. My brothers, he said, a good soil is the soil that has the ability to kill self. So a good soil is where you are really offended. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
So some people come, they hit the number one offense here, number two offense, number three, I'm out of this church. You're uprooted, you're plucked, and you go plant in another place. You get there, now you've doubled your offense. The people here were smiling that way, they're not smiling. You're like, what? You're gone. By the time you're uprooted a few times, the offense develops to bitterness. There is nothing good about church. There is not, when you are talking, you're talking to God, not the church is not man, the church belongs to God. Everything about church is wicked. The church people are evil. This and this. How did he get there? Because from the beginning, you didn't know what you came to the church in the first place with. And you have not dealt with it. Where will you go you not meet a human being? And which human being has died to self that even when they are not sneezing, their breath will not drive you away? There must be something you don't like. What do you do with what you don't like? Will you go to live in the moon? So, because of time, this is what offense looks like inside of us. Those stones have names. Those stones have names. I have so much. We just have to continue because God had to deal with me. God refused for me to have one anything but to love. God says you must intentionally cover love, cover a multitude with love. I don't have love, so where do I need that kind of love from when something is happening? Do you? Every day I have opportunity to be offended. Every day. But the more I remove those stones from me by surrendering to the cross, the more I go to God, I say, God, it's not Kesiah really offending me. Because sometimes I might be offended and Kesiah is saying, what happened? Why are you offended? Why are you feeling this way? I'm the one feeling that way. She doesn't know it. There's a particular time I was preaching in the church in Mount Zion. There was a lady that was sitting in the congregation. She's no more with a precious lady. I didn't know what happened. She was offended. Whatever God told me to preach. So she came, she said, after church, "Pastor, I have something to share with you." I said, "Yes, ma'am." He says, "Somebody came and told you about me. Why didn't you come to me and talk to me about it? And you went to the pulpit and you were preaching about me." There is no way I could convince her nobody told me. Because the message, God gave it, and it was, I didn't know who it was for, but God was reading her mail. So instead of seeing it, that God was speaking to her, he says, "I was gossiping. Somebody must have told me this, because there's no way everything I said was exactly what she's discussed with somebody and the problem." I said, "Who are you? Okay, be honest. Tell me who you..." So it got to the point, he came to church the next time, and God gave me a message. He says, "That's exactly what I was telling you. Your message this Sunday confirmed what you were saying last Sunday, and obviously you were talking, and if you're a pastor, you can't be doing that." So I said, "Let's meet at McDonald's in Udoa next week." So we met at McDonald's and we sat down. I said, "My sister, what's going on? Talk to me." And we went through this. Only God has a way to eventually convince her. I did not tell, and nobody told me anything. I said, "This is not the first time I preach. If I preach, somebody doesn't bear witness. That means I didn't hear from God." So anyway, God convinced her. But when we are offended for time, when stones are in us, you can name it. It can be wounds. It can be anything we've carried. This is what happens for time. Before I read a few more scriptures, it's inside of us. So what it does is, it builds imaginations. And we have a perception, and our life is now motivated by our perceptions. Like that woman I just told you about. I can tell you a few more stories. Our heart, we should guide it, because out of this heart comes out the issues of life. There are too many people with issues. Amen? And once we increase the offense, and we don't know how to get rid of offense, it builds a lot. I'm going to read a few scriptures. I'll just read them instead of explaining them. When we continue, maybe I can go deeper. But let me just use this for time. First of all, if I'm offended by somebody, it stirs up the stone in me that I've not surrendered to cross. And it's all self in me. So I'm the one. I want you to hear that. I'm the one going through it. Actually, let me just use a practical situation. A few years ago, I was doing a prayer thing in Chattanooga with some people. And really quick, there was a lady, precious lady, was married to Pastor Van. Her name is Kwanda Ross. What I'm sharing actually is Pastor Van's testimony about what has made us close. And Kwanda was now coming to our church and working with us and just serving and everything. And by that time, Van was still attending a church in Chattanooga. But Kwanda was always coming to church and serving, but Van was not yet released to come. So we're having events and stuff. So Van will tell you better this story. He was angry. And did you get offended? You were offended, is that? He was offended. But I didn't know. And here I am in a meeting, having fun, excited about God. I don't know what's going on. I'm fine. I am just enjoying God. God is doing something in Chattanooga. A lot of people came. But here's this man, troubled, worried, and was struggling. He wasn't happy, isn't it? He came to that conference determined. God spoke to you about it first, is that? That's why you came. You know what? Give him microphone. Just say it really quick. Anybody has a microphone? I just want to rush that really quick. Yeah. Then just say that story really quick. How you got, what made you come to that center?
Okay, we were speaking at a conference in Chattanooga. Anyway, I won't go into the whole detail. But while I was worshiping, I was going into worship, and while I was standing in worship, God says, I will not accept your worship. I said, why? He said, I will not accept your worship until you go and apologize to Pastor Obi. I said, apologize for what? I didn't apologize for what? And the Lord said, because of your bitterness. Because you're upset with him, because you're thinking that your wife went with him, that he pulled her from you. And I couldn't worship. I was in tears. So he was leaving to go somewhere else because he had to be somewhere else at the same time. And I chased him down. And I told him I apologize to him for something he didn't do. And in the meantime, after that happened, he dropped to his knees.
That's in public.
In public. We were in a big conference center.
Public. People were around us.
He dropped to his knees and started praying for me.
Now, that is the fear of God. When he came to me and said, God wants me to apologize, I said, for what? He said, because you took my wife away. You know, he wasn't happy. I fell on my knees immediately. Why? Because somebody now let me know what I did not know. That's why Jesus says, malice, offense, we use the word ought. When you are the one going through it, I was enjoying God. I didn't know what Van was going through. If that man was not a matured Christian, he would go to another person and say, you see what this guy did to my wife? You see what? And he just told you, I didn't do anything. But that was his understanding, because Kwanda was coming here, was ready to transition, and he felt I was the one behind, and I used to drive people away from coming to our church. Kwanda will tell you. I refused for Kwanda to come. She has to go through a process telling them this pastor doesn't want me. So all that was uncovered eventually. So, but he, from where he was looking at, said, I have taken her away, I have put her away, and he was offended. So God says, because of this bitterness, there's no connection until you reconcile this. Did I know that I ever offended him? But he was the one feeling it. Do you know, if he didn't come, do you know what I would do? It will multiply. And he will sow it in another person, sow it. Then these three people will say, look at what this pastor did. Look at that. And all along, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. So, when we have stones, and these stones stir up offense, and we don't deal with them, we develop perception. For time, this is what it looks like from the inside. This is how you see people. How do I look? I want to look at Keziah. Now, if I don't wear this lens, means there's no stone in me. If I look at her, I see her the way she looks. And I can say, Keziah, you look, I can see, you know. But when I wear this, I'm seeing a totally different person. Isn't it? That's from my stones. So this stone might have a name. What she has done to me, I don't even know. But all she did was stir up what is in me. And what is in me is now seeing her through these eyes. Until there's forgiveness, this is the only way I will be seeing her. Keziah, another situation might come up. I'll put on this glass. Amen. This time is not This other thing, she stirred up a different stone. So now, that first stone, and now I'm seeing it through a different stone, she's different. So if you add that, add this other stone to this one. It's inside of me. Huh? Now, here is what, where the problem is, and I'm about to read it to you. You see, I'm not just seeing her through this. Different things in me. I'm the one wearing it. And then adding this one. Now, I'm seeing her through multicolored system. She is completely decharacterized in my eyes. Because I want to talk to you about my wife. That's all I will tell Keziah about her. Because that's what I see. Yeah. I want to talk to you about my wife. That's all I will tell her about my wife. So my wife, that's the image I think. Thank you. Amen. Amen! I'm not offended. So, okay. Now, let me tell you the danger of this. Let me tell you the danger of this. Forget about Keziah. The biggest danger of this, you permit me to read one or two scriptures about this, is I don't see Keziah, I begin to see God like this. This is the way I see God now. After I've been so wounded in church, I go out, and this is all I see about the church, and that's how I see God. And that's how Eve, after Adam and Eve ate this, God became like this to them. Amen. How do you begin to solve offenses and their problems? This is a feminine grass. If Keziah offends me, I'm the one offended. Huh? Keziah, like Ven did, if she comes to me and say, you did this, you did this, you offended me, she just gave me opportunity. If she comes to me with that opportunity, you did this, you did this, I'm selfish, I'm full of self, but she's giving me opportunity. That's exactly the opportunity God gave to Adam and Eve. Adam, where are you? What's going on? Instead of Adam to say, the fruit is in me, I ate it, remove it. Adam said, no, he covered it. When you cover offense, it goes to bitterness. When bitterness develops, that is the tree that drives your life. It doesn't matter where you are. Anytime your button is pushed, that's what comes out. But if somebody comes to you and say, this is what you did, this is what you did, don't immediately look at the person with those glasses that you have. This is Keziah, the glass Keziah is wearing. She's feminine. I want to see through Keziah's eyes. So I wear a woman's glass. I'm a man. But for me to understand where Keziah is coming from, I have to see from her eyes. I have to understand like Van did. That guy was angry. He was offended by something he thought I did. My heart was like, I'm so sorry that this is how it came out to be. I fell on my knees because I wore the situation. I saw from where it's coming from, not from, why would you accuse me of that? Why would I do something like that? I didn't bring your wife to my church. I wasn't the one that did it. She came, you better go talk to her. That's self-right. But love sees from his pain. You wear somebody's glass, and you see where they are coming from. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. And that's why he went to the cross. Because if I don't wear her glasses, I will not feel, there will be no compassion. There will be no pity. I will not even relate to what she's going through. When you feel what somebody's going through, even when you are right, you will claim to be wrong. So you make peace. My brothers, the last one here, all of us, we don't have 2020 vision. Amen? We don't always see correctly. 1 Corinthians says, we can speak in tongues, we can do this, but we still see in a glass dimly. We are not perfectly seeing everything. Give people opportunity to explain themselves before you crucify them. Before you take your anger on your wife, before you do that, give her opportunity to say, I didn't do it. Okay? Then you check yourself, you do. But give people opportunity before you multiply something that is not true. Even if it's true, be a reconciler. Be a healer. The reason is because we don't always have 2020 vision. The reason I took this glass from Shadrach is because Shadrach, if she doesn't wear this, he can look at wars and it will look like wear. Sometimes we're looking at wars and our eyes is saying wear. So we need adjustment. So when we go to the lenses at 2 point something, we look at it and say, oh, this is really wars. But we saw it as wear. Give people opportunity. We are too suspicious and we are too presumptuous because of offenses. Let people explain. That's why if I'm going to Walmart, I don't have to take his ass. I'm going to Walmart. I'm going to buy this. I just give details, not for any reason, but just to help people's mind be at peace. We are humans. We have self. God is growing us. God is teaching us. That's why Paul says, let me just read a few scriptures and we'll close. We'll have to continue. Amen? So you can hear this from the Lord himself. Let's quickly, we're going to do this really quick. If the media people will help us. Let's read all this together really quick. Let's open to Jude 1:16. Somebody open to Jude 1:16. I'm going to have some people really probably read, so we'll get these scriptures really quick because I've taken a very offensive time today. Amen. 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 But I know you will not be offended. Jude 1:16. Ephesians. Somebody's going to read Jude 1:16. Okay? Good. When you are offended, when you have stones, if somebody comes to you, Sister Rachel comes to me and say, you know, mommy, you are an elder in this house. I'm going through this. This person is doing this to me, is doing that to me. Sister Rachel, if she's matured, she will listen carefully to you and receive what you're saying. But she will find a way to make you live in peace. And find something good about that person. After she's told you, okay, that situation, I'll deal with. Find something good about that person to live in your heart before you leave. If she doesn't do that, encourage you to feel the way you're feeling, you will leave that place a murmurer and a complainer. An offended person, the more you keep, you don't remove that offense. It doesn't matter what you give and what you do. That's the only thing that comes out. Let's read Ephesians 4:31. Ephesians 4:31, somebody has opened to Jude 3 from verse 8. Somebody opened to Hebrews 12:14-15. So if you have Ephesians 4:31, can you raise your hands? Okay, Jesse, you have Ephesians 4:31? Okay, Who, okay, you have it. Read it out loud.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Now, I'm not explaining these things. If we get there, you don't even want it to stay. Yes. Let's go to James 3. Who has James 3 from verse 8? Okay, while you're opening that, somebody opens Hebrews 12 from verse 14.
I got it. James 3:8.
Up 8 to keep reading until I say stop.
But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Basically, we all go through problems. We all go through issues. We all will be offended. If you go to somebody to receive counsel, if you live there without peace, the person has not helped you. The reason you live there with peace is because the person will use the godly wisdom to make sure that situation does not escalate. But if you live there without peace, the person has multiplied your problem. Every leader, every person, when somebody comes with a problem, make sure they live in peace. Seek the wisdom of God. I'm talking out of experience. Pursue peace. So, this area alone is a whole message about godly counsel. How do you know when flesh is advising you? How do you know the enemy is coming into this situation? It's already a bad situation. You're already pain. You're already going through a lot. Why will you leave feeling equally worse about the situation? Are more angry at the person you're supposed to be forgiving than you left. Now, what I'm saying to you, I have seen it in so many churches. I have seen it dealing with leaders. I've seen it all through. And the reason why God put this in my heart, it's because of the breakthrough. Let's read. Somebody read Hebrews 12:14-15.
Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
It says, pursue peace. We are family. We are all family. We are family. Me and Keziah were married. There's one thing I've always asked her. Keziah, I will offend you. I will wrong you. Knowingly or unknowingly, please be transparent. That's all I asked her. Just tell me. Don't hold it in. Don't keep it. You're my wife. If you keep holding it in and holding it in, I won't have the opportunity to see what I've done. Even if I don't see it, you give me opportunity at least to pray about it. You give me opportunity to find a way for us to resolve it. But if you keep keeping it and keep keeping it, eventually, before you know it, you build up lenses about me. and we cannot resolve a common issue. Before you know it, we are no more seeing who we are because our lenses are seeing two different people. And before you know it, people are talking about divorce. People are talking about leaving a church. The best blessing in growing in a church is a place where your life is tested. The good soil that bears fruit is the soil that kills your flesh, that kills so that you can bear fruit. If you go a place where everything you do, Bomati, you are the best person, you are the right person, you are everything good, you are everything wonderful, you are everything great, you don't make mistakes, I'll never rebuke you, I'll never correct you, all the good things, nobody will offend you, you are wonderful. I'm telling you, Bomati is in trouble. You have just blinded her eyes from issues she will never recover from. Jesus says, I don't take praise from men. Now, let's read Matthew. Somebody open to Matthew 7:5, and somebody open to Matthew 5:8-7. Matthew 5:8-7, I need to read that. Let somebody open Matthew 7:5 and read for us.
Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beams of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out not out of thy brother's eye.
You know what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Because they were seeing Jesus through their religious lens and through the things in their life. And so Jesus was just telling them, if you don't take this thing off, you won't see me. You won't know who I really am. He said, how come you're preaching about me? You're telling everybody about me. You see me and you are now looking at me with that I'm not who you think. He said, if you don't take this thing out, you are a hypocrite. He says, first, remove this thing from your eyes so you can see clearly. And the beginning of that verse 7 says, don't judge people. Because you might be judging them wrongly. Amen? If you're judging somebody with this lens or judging with this lens, Jesus says, if you really want to reach Bomati, make sure, first of all, you take this off. So that when you're at least talking to Bomati, you're really seeing Bomati. And nobody can take the stones off by the cross. No human being can take it out. Now, did somebody open 5? Okay, I'm reading 5:7. Here's the good thing as we conclude before we pray. Matthew 5, here's the whole reason for this message. Taking stones and offenses. This is what Jesus said. Matthew 5:8-9. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they... Matthew 8:9. Blessed are the what? Pure in heart, for they shall what? See. Remember, stones inside will make you see things this way. He says, when you repent, you acknowledge these things and you let them out of your life. He says, the purity, innocency, tenderness, love will grow in you. And then this is what he says you'll become. Remember we read in James, verse 9 says, blessed are what? The peacemakers, for they shall be called what? If anybody leaves your presence, going through a situation, hating somebody more, and despising people more, it doesn't matter if it's Marcus or Bomati or Van or me or you. If somebody makes a situation worse, instead of you forgiving, knowing unforgiveness cuts you off. Puts you in a position, instead of taking that stone, helping you come out of that situation, it makes it worse. Jesus says, woe is that person. That person is not a peacemaker. It's Proverbs 6:16-7 says, there are six things that God hates. The seventh one is his abomination. And it's one who, instead of making peace, divides people more. Offended people will offend people. We just need to be peacemakers. Especially in marriage, in our church family. Amen? My brothers and sisters, we have children. We have people, whatever they've done, whatever I've done, whatever you've done, let it never get to a root of bitterness. It is not me that will miss heaven if I don't change. Nothing in this world is worth for you not to see God. And more so, if you keep your heart pure, you forgive, you ask, God will not only heal you, God will protect you. God will cleanse you. And you live a more peaceable, joyful Christian life. Yeah. Amen? Let's stand up together. Again, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to end this haphazardly, even though there are so many things in this we needed to look at. But thank you. This was so deep in my spirit and what God wants to do. Because God wants to promote everyone in this house. God wants to bless us. So, we all are coming to the cross. Amen. We are coming to the cross afresh. And the cross is the promise of the word of God and the blood of Jesus. The word says, if I have anything against my brother, aught, offense, whatever it is, say, I need to make reconciliation. It's not all the time you go to people and say, forgive me, do this, do this. You might feel they are not sincere, they are not this. But the most sincerity is for you to go to God this morning and say, God, any of you want me to be honest this morning? Do you want me to say what is in my heart? What the Lord put in my heart? My brothers and sisters, I did not change. There are things I go to with Isaiah. There is no way I could change if I was blaming her. I came to a point, I made a decision. I will intentionally do my best not to blame this woman. I'm talking about in our relationship. I'm not about you and how you, just on us. And the reason is, I say, God, what if I'm wearing this? What if I'm wearing this? Amen? So, I have made a decision. I must first take the blame. Why? Because God, whatever in me is causing, or whatever in me that makes me unhappy, or that will cause it, I would like that to be taken away. So, I will always give me the grace to take the blame, no matter what. Even, no matter what, give me the grace to say, I need to change. That's my decision. And that's the same decision I've made about everybody in this church. It doesn't matter what you do. I will first say, give me opportunity to ask for forgiveness. So if I stand before God today, I don't want to be the reason you miss heaven. So when we take this, the biggest is between you and God. Say, God, it's not Bombati. It's not you. It's me. Amen? How many of you, you and the Lord, just play on the keyboard. You and the Lord this morning, take this message and say, God, I cannot change Sister B. I cannot change Sister C. But you can change me, because I am asking you, whatever is inside of me, whatever in me that will put a block between me and you, between me and brother this or sister this, today I take responsibility and I say, God, I will not take this communion without searching my heart. Based on what I've heard, whatever it is, God, I acknowledge I need the cross in my life. I need self to be caught in my life. Remove everywhere self is holding me captive. Father, I know many times you've shown me the problem is not the other person. I'm not free because it's self, it's pride, it's my lust. So this morning, Father, you see every one of our hearts. You see everything. I ask for your mercy. I ask for your grace. And we take these stones, instead of casting it at the woman that was caught in adultery, Father, we lay these stones before your presence. I lay my stones. I cannot judge because I can see enough to judge. So, Father, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. And I ask for your forgiveness. As I take this bread this morning, as you take it, it's a commitment. God, take the mold, take the blank out of my eyes. Heal me from every wound, every pain. Forgive me. Restore me. Because your blood speaks of mercy, forgiveness, restoration, and healing. Give me the eyes afresh to see with your eyes of love, of mercy, of forgiveness. In Jesus' name, make me a peacemaker. In Jesus' name, amen. I bought these glasses yesterday, all of them here. You're free to come and take it for free at the end of the service. Yes, I'll give you your... Thank you so much for your time. God bless you. And I pray that this will bring a change in all of our lives. God bless you. I'm preparing all of you that are about to get married for your husband. Amen.